The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us. Hour number two of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome to the broadcast. You are, of course, listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC. In the second hour, cardiac deaths are up in Florida. And there's a new study that puts, well, something that seems to be a contributing factor. Pro-life arrests, stories about those arrested. And we're going to begin with the Parkland verdict, Nicholas Cruz, in a moment. I also want to give a shout out to listener Monica. She's new to the program. She's never heard the program before. And again, I don't need my ears tickled. I've been in radio 36 years. I won't say I've heard it all, but I don't have a need to, you know, get my back, little pat on the back. I don't need that. I'm just interested in truth. And compelling radio that makes you think, makes you take action, stand up for something. The Bible says no greater love hath he than someone that would lay his life down for a friend. That's literal, and I also think it's metaphoric. If there's something in your life that you really love, you'll stand for it. So Monica had a lot of kind things to say. She's asking me if I'm in social media. And for Monica and anybody else listening, I'm in all the usual places. It's kind of a, not a love-hate thing. We're going to do a program on social media and technology in the not-too-distant future. But I'm on Instagram at Frank Sontag, and also my men's ministry is KMG Ministries. You can follow me on both pages. Facebook, the same. Although we do also have a show page on Facebook called The Frank Sontag Show. Monica, you're welcome to call anytime, and thank you for listening. 800-222-5222. Now, for most of my life, even before I became a follower of Christ, I was against the death penalty. It just, in some ways, didn't square with me. And part of the adage, how can you point to the taking of a life and saying it's wrong by acting in kind, right? And that's kind of a tricky thought process because there is some truth in it. But when I woke up one day, which literally took about a two-year process, it dawned on me, especially when I read the Bible. The Bible talks about the importance of protecting citizenry. Like, what is a country? What is the purpose of government if it doesn't protect its citizenry? And the rule of law. Again, the Bible talks about government is to mete out justice and to protect its citizenry. So from a larger standpoint, a larger viewpoint, when something occurs like the gunning down of 17 people, 14 children, 3 adults, and I believe 14 others were wounded, premeditatively, from a societal purpose, is this not an example that would bear something as harsh, as maybe hard to embrace, as the death penalty? And Nicholas Cruz this week was sentenced. Now, if you don't know, hard to believe it's been 4 years since he murdered 17 people at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. He was sentenced this week to life without parole. And maybe we can take some calls about the death penalty, and I can share more about my views and how my views have changed. Cruz is now 24. He killed 14 students, 3 staff members, left a number of others wounded. Now, here's two sides of the story. At least two sides of the story. The lead public defender, a woman named Melissa McNeil, urged the jurors not to recommend a death sentence, even though this young man killed 17 people. This is what she said. Sentencing Nicholas to death will change absolutely nothing. It will not bring back those 17 innocent victims that he viciously murdered. It won't. You now know that Nicholas is a brain-damaged, broken, mentally ill person through no fault of his own. End quote. She said, describing Cruz's mother as having poisoned her son while he was still in the womb. She went on to say, quote, he was doomed from the womb, and in a civilized, humane society, do we kill brain-damaged, mentally ill, broken people? Do we? I hope not. End quote. So that's one view. The lead prosecutor, a man named Michael Satz, noted that Cruz said he picked Valentine's Day for the shooting because, quote, he wanted to ruin it for everyone. Satz said, quote, what he wanted to do, what his plan was, and what he did was to murder children at school and their caretakers. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he planned to do. And that's what he did. And he picked Valentine's Day to do it while school was in session. The lead prosecutor went on to say, and you could tell by the evidence and the testimony, you've been sitting here listening to everything. This plan was goal-directed. It was calculated. It was purposeful. It was the systematic massacre. Get this. The lead prosecutor went on to say, so Cruz carried out his plan. He told everybody what his plan was. They found his phone and the cell phone with three cell phone videos on it and the one that he made on February the 11th, 2018. He said the following in that video. Hello, my name is Nick. I'm going to be the next school shooter of 2018. My goal is to kill at least 20 people with an AR and a couple of tracer rounds. I think I can get it done. Location, Stoneman Douglas in Parkland, Florida. It's going to be a big event. And when you see me on the news, you'll know who I am. Ha ha. You're all going to die. I can't wait. End quote. And Sat said that was his plan and he carried it out. 800-222-5222. Now, he did plead guilty to shooting 14 students and three adults. He also pleaded guilty to attempting to murder 17 others. I thought it was 13 or 14. So if you have a death penalty at all, and when students are massacred with premeditation and utter disregard for basic humanity, do they not deserve the death penalty? 800-222-5222. I mean, there are crimes for which only the just penalty is death. I've come to believe that. And when you also think about this, other heinous crimes, if this is not a death penalty case, then how do you derive what is? Are you following what I'm saying? Under Florida law, by the way, a death sentence requires a unanimous vote on at least one count. They didn't have unanimous 7-man, 5-woman jury. They did agree there were aggravating factors toward a possible death sentence. But more than one juror said they found mitigating factors such as untreated childhood issues. Seriously? Untreated childhood issues? Do you think murder is a rational act? I'm kind of taken aback by that. And I think this is just my own personal view. I think this is partly how our culture is deteriorated. I mean, this man pleaded guilty. Everybody knew that from the beginning. It's taken years and years in this legal system. It's not serving the interest of victims. And here he is. He has life in prison without parole. Now, that's not a cakewalk by any stretch. But the idea of the rule of law, some of you live in LA County, and I'm not necessarily comparing the two, but 2 years ago during the summer riots, this idea of defund the police, this is pretty popular. This idea of, and again, I don't want to sound insensitive, but we need to look to someone's childhood. They were abused, et cetera, so therefore, okay, awful. Years ago when I was the anti-guy of the death penalty, I did debates at public forums. I talked about the majority of those on death row had no fathers and were beaten and all that. I mean, there's something to that contributing, but is there no case that warrants the death penalty? Should we just abolish it, outlaw it? I'd love to hear from a few of you. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. And maybe you want to make a comment about this particular case. You can also email me at frank@kmgministries.com. And I'll say I've really struggled with this over the last few years, but I am now for the death penalty in certain circumstances. How say you? 800-222-5222. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Part of what's on the table for discussion, and we're inviting you to call the program, 800-222-5222. Nicholas Cruz in Florida was sentenced this week to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The 24-year-old young man, 4-plus years ago, gunned down 17 people in a premeditated way. And so we're talking about the death penalty. Is it appropriate? Just for the sake of clarification, and if we get some calls, I will share a little bit more about my change. When I say I'm for the death penalty, I'm not for rampant use of it. But I think in some ways, if as a society you don't have something as severe as the death penalty, in certain cases like this, if this doesn't warrant the death penalty, I don't know what does. The gunning down of 17 innocent people, premeditated. And yet part of the reason, at least one of the jurors said, well, he had a horrible childhood. We've lost as a society. And I'm sure there's no doubt about that. 21 million young men live in this country between the ages of 10 and 19. 21 million. I have a men's ministry. How many of those 21 million young men do you think were raised without a father? If you just go with sheer statistics. Millions and millions. You want to talk about a serious problem that needs to be addressed. It's fatherlessness. But yet, as a culture, we've embraced fatherlessness as normal. And there are some of you listening right now that are women. You've been moms and dads raising your kids, busting your behind, trying to be both, because the dude took off, stepped out. So, yes, we have a lot of problems in culture. And I think in certain circumstances, rare though they may be, the death penalty is appropriate. Let's take a few calls on that topic. Larry in Van Nuys. Larry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Your views toward the death penalty, I agree with. You know, for somebody to go into a school and murder children, if you give that a green light, then there's really nothing stopping someone from doing that. And I don't care what your childhood was. Not everybody grows up and murders people. And I feel bad for people that had bad childhoods. But there is right and there's wrong. And he knew what he was doing was wrong. And he planned it out. And he took those people's lives. And it's not just 17 people. It's all of the friends and other family members. You ruin dozens or hundreds of people's lives by one act of not caring whatsoever about these other people that have families, mothers, fathers, children. And I absolutely think that if you go into a school and commit a crime like that, and there's evidence against you, camera, DNA, whatever it might be, that there's no doubt whatsoever, I think you should get the death penalty even without a trial.
Yeah.
That's my view on it. If you had children, you know, it's not even safe for your children to go to school any longer. When did that become an issue in our society. You know, that goes back about, what is it, 15, 20 years, the first school shooting. And it keeps happening. And it needs to stop. My daughter goes to school. She's 12 years old. Some days I wonder, is she going to come home from school or is she going to get murdered at school? This is ridiculous.
It is.
And, yeah, if you torture somebody and murder them, I think that's another real good reason for the death penalty. People have become overly liberal, but I wonder how they'd feel if, in fact, it was their child.
Larry,
these
are very good points. I appreciate you calling. Thank you for thinking this through and conveying your views on the air, and I look forward to the next time. I will say this. Larry made mention of school shootings. I have friends that are in law enforcement. I have friends that are in personal security. They are all about protection and training people to use firearms. They all say the same things. If you have a trained expert on the grounds of a school, there is no way you're going to see what you see in terms of carnage. There's no way. But the left's mindset, what do they promote? Gun-free zones? You saw this during the riots 2 years ago. With Black Lives Matter and defund the police and somehow get guns off campuses. This is troubling. And I understand, you know, your little one going to school and there's the dude with the gun. I get that. But we need to educate ourselves. To just be afraid of firearms and go, oh, I don't want that around my children. Culture has changed. We have some pretty vile characters out there, and evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. And our respond in culture is to someone that brutally murders, executes 17 people, we say, well, they had a bad childhood, so we're going to keep them alive in prison. I can't go along with that. Eric in North Hollywood. Eric, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790-KABC. Hello, Eric.
Yes, hello. We've all had issues in our childhood. For us as a nation to ignore and defy the mandate in Scripture that you take even one life, you forfeit your own, is in violation. And so we are reaping the results of a nation in rebellion in many ways, and this is only one facet of it. And as far as our cultural breakdown, it started way back in the 60s with the British invasion. And I dare say that the problem with the church today is that neutralism is an act of the devil. And many Christians say it's so far gone that there's nothing we can do anymore about it. That's the devil's own lie. As a born again believer, I'm in this war. And I believe that we need to fight for our freedom as we preach the gospel of salvation. Hopefully this Nicky Cruz guy will accept the Lord. He should be put to death and hopefully come to Jesus before he gets put to death. God offers that promise to everybody who will turn to him.
Eric, I appreciate the call, and I thank you for it. As a Christian man, I struggle. I'm not just 100% pro capital punishment, and I struggle with it. You look what the Bible says. One of the largest Christian killers was a guy named Saul of Tarsus. And he had his road to Damascus revelation experience with Christ and became Paul of the New Testament. I get that. But when it comes to society, it's undeniable that you've got to have some level of deterrence. You have to have some level of meeting out justice. If you throw that out the window, then it's basically anarchy, and it's every man and woman for themselves. It doesn't work that way. Paul in Burbank, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Frank, good talking to you again. Did you see that movie Hell or High Water?
I did not.
There's a scene where they're robbing a bank in Texas. And the two bank robbers come out of the bank, and they get this tons of fire from the citizens around the bank. Really funny, good scene, you know, about how people standing up for themselves and a bank. But that's the case of defense, right? But the Bible does say thou shalt not murder. And the other gentleman, I think, posed it correctly. When we violate the societal laws that we have, there's consequences. And we have to be responsible individual citizens, sovereign individuals, who have that responsibility to ourselves and each other. And when we violate that, there is a cost. And without the cost, like you said, it's anarchy. And it's a sad state of affairs that we have to be put in this state, that we have to sentence somebody to death. They made that. They made us do that. We didn't do that. The perspective is off there, right?
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. It's akin to this idea, and I'm not drawing necessarily a direct connection, but the idea of heaven and hell. And people that don't like Christianity, they're like, I can't believe in a God of love if he makes hell for people and sentences them to hell. No, they sentence themselves. They send themselves to hell through free will. Go ahead. You've got a minute. Appreciate your call.
No, Frank, you're right on point. I'm not going down that path per se in the conversation. I'm sure it could be one where you go. I get that. But, you know, California has blocked the death penalty legislatively. That's why we have people on death row for 25 years.
That's right.
Even though we have the death penalty here, it's blocked by this. And that's not right. That's not the will of the people. The will of the people have voted for the death penalty. And, you know, Justice Scalia talks about this as well. Back in the times when they wrote the Constitution, death penalty was normal. All colonies had it. But it was for, like you said, you know, the crimes might be less, like whore thieves and cattle thieves and whatever, but it was agreed upon. And I would bet you, per capita, a lot less people were committing these crimes knowing that they have the death penalty to look forward to.
Paul, I'm thankful for your call. Please call again sometime. I will say this in the minute I have left. One of the arguments against the death penalty, and we hear it whenever this comes up, is, well, the death penalty's never been proven to be a deterrent, right? And I want to be really clear. I don't want to be disingenuous. I've spoken at forums and debates from a anti-death penalty position for years. And my position was born out of just this mindset about honorance and reverence for life. And again, the taking of a life. And so I don't take my stance lightly. In fact, I posted something on my Facebook page, if I can pull it up quickly. And someone made a very, very interesting point. You know, you talk about the death penalty and then the abortion issue, right? How can you be for the death penalty and against abortion, which is a conversation we can have. But I wrote, for most of my life, I've been anti-death penalty. In recent years, I've changed my position. With the realities of the Parkland verdict, it is clear that we have descended into a society that refuses to protect our own and at the very least confront evil. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Frank Sontag Show, thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of calls on the screen, and on a lighter note, let me share this. There is an event happening a week from next Wednesday, which is October the 26th at 5:30 p.m. at RejuvaU. A number of weeks ago, I had Dr. John Shea on the program. He's having an open house. If you don't know about RejuvaU, or if you're interested in the open house, limited seating, they're going to present the latest in regenerative and rejuvenation procedures that everybody can benefit from. If you've got, oh, you name it, pains, aches. I had actually a torn rotator in my right shoulder about 8 months ago, and I went and I got PRP. Platelet-rich plasma. I think they draw your blood and spin it and shoot it back in. And my shoulder's about 85% now. I couldn't even pick it up. So the open house is October 26, 5:30, the latest in regenerative and rejuvenation procedures. You can sign up one or two ways. You can call or go to the website and request more information. The website is rejuvaU.com, just like it sounds. And the phone number is 626-551-1000. 1-800-848-4800. That's a special line to reserve your spot. 626-551-4800, and they are in Pasadena, and they do phenomenal things for people along the lines of health and healing and wellness. All right, I have about 9 minutes before I need a break. I've got a lot of calls on the screen. We're going to kind of bounce around with topics. The death penalty discussion is still on the table. We have a couple callers who want to talk about that. But I want to take Robert and Brent are the first two callers. Robert in Hollywood, it says he wants to talk about Christians. I'm not sure what that means. Robert, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me on the program. The reason I called in is not to make points, but try to understand, try to make people understand how I understand things. And I do question the philosophical question of what morality is. I know the Bible has had a monopoly on the definitions of that, and that's true in our history. But I, from my reading, I think a lot of morality ethics doesn't stem necessarily from the religion, but goes back to ancient Greece, Aristotle in particular, and it's come through. And I work with that as my compass in understanding morality, as especially as Aristotle defined it in his ethics.
So for those that may not be familiar with Aristotle or what you're saying, be specific at the very least about the two points by which you derive what morality is.
Yes, morality to me is an ethical, is a moral code, a code of values by which we live with each other. And I think it's based on the principle of trade. Basically, for instance, a good example is when you go into a store and you buy something, you give them a dollar or whatever, and they give you a product. It's trade. We're talking now is more of a spiritual trade. We're changing ideas. And hopefully you can come back with your ideas. To me, that's ethics, in essence, is a principle of trade with people, and that's the best way to exist, I think.
Okay, I'm a little lost on what that has to do with morality. Do you believe in right and wrong? Do you believe in evil? Tell us more about that.
Yes, well, ethics, of course, or morality is a basis of establishing what is right or wrong. I think if I went to the store and took the product and didn't pay him, that would be wrong. That's unethical because it's not in his interest, and certainly it's not good for me to do something like that. Of course not. That's not ethical. No, that would put that point. Anything else? Is that a good example or anything else?
What about evil? Is evil a reality? Is evil a force? Is evil just the absence of good? What are your thoughts on evil?
Well, to me, evil is anything that is anti-life. I think we are beings, like all beings. We are our basis of our self-preservation is the basis of everything we do, including morality, ethics. We're based on living our lives, and that's anything that goes against a person's life is evil, I think, especially if it's done volitionally.
So what about the death penalty? Would you say the death penalty is evil since it takes a life?
Well, that's a good question. Now, I think, first, I had somebody who was listening to the program here in regards to this man that's being given time in prison. The death penalty, well, first of all, in that regard, understanding things, we have one I want to put this in. We have to understand what is mental health, first of all. Mental health to me is unobstructed cognition.
Okay.
So to dismiss this man as mentally ill is kind of ironic since he did so well when he premeditated. It was all cognitively done well. So.
Well, let me jump in here. You and I would have an interesting conversation if we had an hour to sit down. We don't have that affordability right now. We'll leave it at that. I do thank you for the call. Brent is in Los Angeles. Brent, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC.
Blessings, Frank. You, my brother, are a modern-day Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I'm Jewish, and drawing parallels between President Biden, his Democrats, and many Republicans as well, to Adolf Hitler and the Nazis is not only not insulting or outrageous to me, but it is a righteous, godly obligation. And Biden is clearly attempting to effect a second thermonuclear holocaust upon the 6 million Jews living in Israel today using Iranian nuclear bombs. And Naomi Wolf and many others are all calling for a second Nuremberg trial for the mass murder taking place globally with Fauci's FDA, the CDC, NIAID, WHO, Pfizer's and Moderna's genocide jabs. So Dr. Fauci's body counts make Dr. Mengele's look like child's play.
You make mention of Naomi Wolf. I'm guessing 2 years ago, if you and I were to have a conversation and, hey, Brent, what, Frank? Would you believe there'd be a day where we'd wake up and Naomi Wolf would be at the forefront of speaking out against some of these things?
It's miraculous.
It is. It is. She is one courageous. She's one hell of a woman.
And there's such a resurrection within her from where she's coming and the way she was attacked and just demeaned and degraded the left that has loved her for decades.
That's right.
And do you have time for one other thought?
Yes, I do.
Doc, God demands the death penalty for mass murdering monsters like Nicholas Cruz. And to me, it is pure evil to keep such as these alive.
Brent, as always, I'm grateful for you and your call. Thank you for calling tonight. There is a very short story out of Florida. Did you hear about the Surgeon General of Florida? A new warning says that the mRNA vaccines for COVID-19 significantly increase the risk of death from heart problems, particularly in men. It states, quote, this analysis found that there is an 84% increase in the relative incidence of cardiac-related deaths among males 18 to 39 within 28 days of an mRNA vaccination, end quote. Meanwhile, a leading medical journal was recently found to have skewed data in a peer-reviewed study on vaccinations by grouping together people who had natural immunity from COVID-19 with data on people who received the vaccines. And by the way, I say vaccines, they're not even vaccines. But that's the way this article is presented. They're experimental drugs. All right, before we break, he's kind of breath of fresh air. He's actually going to be on the program in a couple of weeks. His name is Craig Parker Adams. He's a rock and roll guitarist, a dear friend of mine I've known for a long time. And he has a brand new album out. He has stories to tell, so I've invited him in. He'll be in on the 29th, 2 weeks from tonight. And he has a brand new rock album out. He cut this fun 60-second commercial, and here it is.
In a world where seahorses ride dirt bikes and gumballs grow on trees, comes the DNA cleansing rock concert of purified notes to help you be the most incredible, ultimate, bestest you. The Stolly Mule, a sassy tropical blend of coconut, banana, mango, pineapple flavored rock guitar, here to liberate and heal your soul. Take the journey and get your copy of The Stolly Mule now at IARERecords.com. That's IARERecords.com. And be a part of the greatest selling rock record of all time, The Stolly Mule, coming to a stadium near you.
Warning. Initiates healing upon contact.
CraigParkerAdams.com is his website. He's one of my best friends, and look forward to having him in studio. We can share stories, and I just think the man is incredible. I've always been fascinated by someone that has an ability to play the guitar quite well, and Craig is just, he is very gifted. In his new album, if you like rock and roll, especially if you like Van Halen, Craig knew Eddie very well, and his album sounds similar to some of Eddie's licks, and the reason why is Eddie influenced Craig throughout his life and was a friend. CraigParkerAdams.com. Pick up his brand new album and other goodies on his website. When we continue, we may get some more calls. The story about pro-life arrests and their stories. Then I've got an email that I got a little while ago I need to read to you as well at frank@kmgministries.com. You can email me directly right now, as a matter of fact, frank@kmgministries.com. The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Couple of reminders. If you are looking to purchase something like precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, Gold Financial Group are supporters and sponsors of this program, and Mike Cordova began GFG a number of years ago, and they've got some deals for you. They are very much down to earth, no hard sales pitch. They're just there to help you invest in precious metals. I got a caller named Sylvia who is considering reaching out and buying some gold. Should I call them? Should I not? And I'm like, what do you got to lose? Call. Mike may even pick up the phone. 800-214-9023 is the number to Gold Financial Group. 800-214-9023. By the way, I will not be here next Friday night. We're going to run a best of. I have a retreat, a men's retreat. We've got five spots left. We actually got one during the program tonight. We've got five spots left. If you want to get out of here, get up in the mountains with a bunch of guys, hanging out, good food, good conversation, clean air, go to franksontag.com. I'll be teaching all weekend. Get it. Some time together, meet some great guys, hang out with me. Just go to franksontag.com, and I think we've got five spots left. I, for a good chunk of my life, interestingly enough, not only was I against the death penalty, I was a left-winged progressive, by the way, radical environmentalist. I've done a 180 in my life. Not only was I against the death penalty, I was in the camp of being pro-choice when it comes to abortion. I don't really have the time right now to share how it is that I've come to believe not only is it reprehensible and barbaric, but it is the taking of an innocent life. And so there are some people that have some of the same thoughts, and they are willing to go to abortion clinics and try to stop what society calls a woman's right to have reproductive health. And again, maybe this upsets you. We can talk in future programs. I don't want to sound insensitive. And yes, there are many Christians who have had abortions as well. But we need to, in my view, call it what it is. It's the taking of an innocent life. So some of the pro-life activists who were charged last week blocking a clinic in, I think it's Tennessee, were charged with violations of the freedom of access to clinic entrances. And they are now speaking out. Listen to some of these stories. It wherever you stand on this, I would think some of the words from a couple of these women will stick with you. Federal authorities announced charges about a week ago against 11 activists who blocked a clinic in Tennessee in 2021. All of the activists were charged with violating the law. Known as the FACE, FACE Act, the law prohibits threatening or obstructing people who are trying to obtain or provide abortions. Some of the activists were also charged with civil rights conspiracy. Heather, I believe it's Adonai or Idoni of Michigan, shared this, quote, "As I face the unjust charges in D.C. and now Tennessee, my only desire is to walk through everything in God's grace. I have no regret in standing for righteousness and defending the innocent unborn children. It's a privilege to be counted worthy to share in these, quote, light and momentary troubles, end quote, that can't come near to what my Savior suffered for me." Idoni was previously charged with blocking an abortion clinic in Washington. She was hit with a FACE Act violation and civil rights conspiracy because she allegedly conspired. Now, listen to this. Allegedly conspired to, quote, injure, oppress, threaten, and intimidate, end quote, patients and employees at the CareFem clinic in Mount Juliet, according to charging documents. Idoni was among those who were seen in a live stream video entitled Rescue, posted by a co-defendant blocking access to the clinic in March of 2021. The group stated that its intention was to block women who were seeking abortions. Now, again, the charges, they were allegedly conspiring to injure, oppress, threaten, and intimidate patients. Listen to what they did. This is on video. They sat and stood in a hallway outside the clinic's entrance, singing songs and reading Bible verses. That's it. Many were charged with trespassing due to refusing to leave the scene after several hours. Eva Adil is another person that has been charged with a FACE Act violation. The 87-year-old survived a concentration camp after World War II, according to her biography. 87-year-old Eva Adil said, quote, "When I placed my body at the entrance of abortion clinics, I'm only doing what I wish people in my country had done for me when I was shipped in a cattle car to be exterminated in a concentration camp in Yugoslavia. Life begins at conception and deserves equal protection at all stages of development or decline." End quote. Adil referred to several Bible verses, including Acts 5:29, which states, "I cannot permit myself to be intimidated by what my present government might do to me. I'm committed to obeying God rather than men." Commenting on this possibly being all politically motivated, these charges, Dennis Green said, quote, "There's no doubt about it. It's unheard of to spend a couple of hours peacefully and prayerfully sitting down in a hallway, no violent intent, to be charged with something like this. It's pretty ludicrous, especially when you see what's going on in our society today, when people burning down cities go without charges, yet peaceful Christians would be facing heavy charges like this." Green went on to say, "Our intent was not to violate any law, but to save a baby's life. It was not a protest. There was a baby scheduled to die that day. We peacefully, prayerfully interposed to save that baby's life. And in all of us society and other situations, to break a law to save human life is accepted. Whether crossing a property boundary to pull a child from drowning in the pool or going into a burning building without asking the property owner's permission to save a life." Green said, "And there were children scheduled to die that day, so I would say we did not violate a law in that we were upholding a higher law, saving human life," end quote. By the way, CareFem, the organization that runs the clinic, says it welcomed the charges. A spokesperson said, quote, "CareFem is pleased to see that the federal government is enforcing the law to protect health care providers and patients who seek vital health care," end quote. You know, when I was for pro-choice, I want to be really honest here. When I heard kind of the euphemisms and the lingo seeking private health care, on some level, I even knew that's not what's going on. This is stopping a life. Whether you can argue about when the life begins, whether it's conception, all that stuff. Woman's right to choose. Another statistic that I was shocked and horrified to learn about. A handful of years ago when I began to go to pregnancy centers and get to meet some of those running them. There's one in the Van Nuys area called Open Arms. Wonderful woman named Debbie Harvey still runs that place. I went in one day and received quite an education. Talk to some of the staff. And the one of many things I learned that I walked away with was that men, and I was in that camp, we have been relativized into believing this isn't an issue about us, that we need to shut our mouths, this is all about women. And one of the staff said to me, 85% of women that are considering an abortion, if their boyfriend or husband or acquaintance, if you will, would speak up and say, "I want to keep the child," they would keep the child. But men have learned to be silent on this. And again, I'm not here to demonize women. It takes two, yes. But When I began to have my change, I just realized that I was strongly in denial about the realities of this as taking a life. And we use all of these words to get us away from the realities of what happened and happens at abortion clinics. By the way, there's a guy named Seth Gruber. He has something called the White Rose Resistance Movement. You may want to look him up. He's probably the most outspoken pro-life individual I've ever met and knows his stuff. All right, we are not going to be here next Friday night. I debated whether to say that. We're going to run a best of. You may not even be able to tell, but I'll be up in the mountains with a number of other guys at our bi-yearly men's retreat, and we've got 4 spots left. If you want to be one of many to come up to the mountains and just spend some time away and clear your head and eat good food and breathe fresh air, just go to franksontag.com. I would be honored to meet you and spend time with you. And it's not therapy. We're not going to do anything out of the ordinary. We're not going to ask you to do anything that makes you uncomfortable. It's just an opportunity to get out and get real about some of our struggles. So go to franksontag.com. Until then, you can get any of this broadcast in its entirety by going to franksontag.com. Our podcasts are almost up literally after the program. And between now and next time, God bless you. I love you. Stay safe. This is the Frank Sontag Show, 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.